Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. What a beautiful picture from up here. If I had my phone, I'd be taking one of those panoramics. You guys are looking great this morning. It must be the great weather we're having, right? Yeah, it puts everybody in the best of moods. Oh, here. Everybody smile. If you don't know Suzanne, she does all the communication and the newsletter, the online stuff, the graphics. Just a fabulous job. If you see stuff you like, there's the person to thank. Good morning. I'm Deacon Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who still continues to bother all of you here try to help out as best I can without getting in the way. Our theme today is we're going to be hearing Jesus' words from the cross to his mother. So Pastor Lynn is going to be bringing us that message today. We are a church that wants to know God, love God, and serve God. We can do that in a great variety of ways, and one of them you can get involved in is to get that connection card out of your bulletin that you were given as you came in. Fill that out. Find something on there that you might want to put your toe in. I will assure you that this is a congregation that if you say yes to something, it's not a lifetime thing. And we even hear the word no when people tell us. So please take some time to look that over. Look at the website and see all the ministry and mission opportunities there are. There are also prayer cards in your pew. They're bright yellow, can't miss them. We have a group that meets on Thursdays to pray. We pray with the staff and with the clergy. So if you or someone you know needs prayer, please fill out one of those cards. So Pastor Lynn and I were just saying we have the trifecta here today. The women are taking over. So Pastor Lynn will be bringing the message. Pastor Lindsay will be doing the new member group today. I'm here, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So if you would please, three. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tonight at 5 o'clock, I should know this. I'm going to be setting this up. Today service today at 5 o'clock, an opportunity to spend some quiet time in meditation and prayer as we continue our journey towards Easter. The Easter egg hunt is set for April 8th. It doesn't have the times here. I know that doesn't have one on mine. Sorry. I'll look up there. 10 o'clock here, 7 p.m. 10 o'clock Brighton campus, 1 p.m. Whitmore Lake campus is what I'm seeing. Okay. Whew. And lastly, the directories have arrived. If you have not picked one up, they are just at the door, entry door to the community room. If you had your picture taken, there should be a directory in the box with your name on it. If not, there are directories to the right side of that box, and those are the ones for the folks who did not. And you can still get your information in there. Please contact the front office to do that. So I'm going to ask you all to please rise as you are able and join in the first hymn.
join me in the opening prayer. Jesus, our Lord, we come to you in prayer, asking you to lift up our loved ones who are suffering and need. Show us how we can love them as you have loved us. Give us strength to serve in your name, and show us where we can walk in your ways. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. I want to tell you how very fortunate and blessed I am to be among you. All of your faces looking towards me, that's wonderful. But today I have some special things that I want to mention to you. One of them is you may notice that I'm speaking from a little different pulpit today. Did you see that? Well, this is because I'm so short. All right. But among this congregation, Jean noticed that I needed something shorter, and he was going around in some back cupboards, closet somewhere, I don't know where, somewhere in the building, he found this beautiful thing, but it was all dark wood and it wouldn't match. So then he talked to Carl Dybert about it. Carl changed the color of this beautiful piece. Carl made this beautiful emblem, do you see? And so that's one thing I'm celebrating. But I'm also celebrating the young people who are part of this service today. We have Claire that I know you're familiar with, but I only got to meet her today, and wow, what a practiced liturgist. I'm supposed to say host, right? Something. She's a great reader. And back there, Lowen is running the video, and Lowen is ready because there's another thing I want to show you. My dear deacon friend Loretta brought this. Can we get this on the screen? So we can't see it, but the online people are seeing it, and you can all see it this way. Now, it's small, so you can't see, but what this is Jesus on the cross, and do you see there are faces down here? Now, do you think those are men or women? Remember what the scripture says. It was the women who stayed close to the cross. And since we're preaching about that today, Loretta said, well, you really need to share this. It's hers. It was given to her as a gift. And so we're sharing it with you today. So, you know, I just feel really, really blessed to be here. And I'm glad to have a chance to bring this message today. So let's pray. Gracious God, be with us as we listen. Be with us as you speak into our hearts. Help us to hear your calling beneath these plain old human words. In the name of Jesus, amen. So that scripture that Claire read for you, she read a translation that says, that Jesus said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Now, there are other ways to translate that, and actually the good old King James said, "Woman, behold your son." And I'm sort of liking the behold today, because behold means we see, it means we perceive, and so we can think of it either way, and I'm going to say it all different ways throughout this message today. So, woman, behold your son. This is a tough scripture. It was spoken from the cross, but what could it possibly say to us today? That's the question before us. Now, the night before, Jesus had spent the evening comforting his disciples. They could hardly take it in that Jesus was moving with determination towards the cross. The possibility of his death was terrifying for them to even consider, and mostly they would block it out. We do that, don't we? But that night, Jesus had watched his disciples. This is the night before. He had watched them considering just who they were. He had spent his ministry seeing people clearly. People who needed healing. He saw people who needed forgiving. He saw people who were hungry. He saw people who were afraid. And he saw people who trusted God. As for the disciples, he had seen them passing out food, sitting among sinners, right? One of them even trying to walk to him on the water. But he had also seen those same disciples at their worst. Like the time they were in a boat when a storm came up and they were terrified. Or the times they argued with each other over who among them was the greatest. Not their finest moment. He knew there was a good chance that before the evening was over, they would be scattered in fear, leaving only his mother, a few women, and his best friend to stand with him to the end. So at that supper, Jesus had looked into the eyes of each and every disciple. And he spoke to them words of direction and words of comfort. He told them things like, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And, "I will not leave you orphaned." And, "Love one another." And, "Go and bear fruit." He washed their feet to make a point about how to love one another. And he told them that the Holy Spirit would help them. He knew it would be tough, so he prayed for them that night. And you know, at the end of that supper, he also prayed for us. For us. Look in the scripture, you'll find it. We who would believe because of what they have passed down to us. He prayed for us specifically. So, all of that was last night, but now we're at Good Friday. And the time of goodbye yesterday had been hard enough, but today, the last day, he was struggling to catch a breath by hoisting his weight off of his straining lungs so that the number of words he was going to be able to speak, they weren't going to be many. They were going to be a few. So now he had to find just the right words to speak into the heart of his mother and his best friend. Words that mattered. Words that would be heard not only by them, but by followers for centuries to come. And what did he actually say to them? "Woman, see your son, and see your mother." Really? I'm going to have to tell you the truth here. For many years, I felt really uncomfortable with the words that Jesus spoke to his mother that day. Mothers? How many mothers are here? Raise your hand. Let's see how many mothers. All right, mothers. How would you feel if you're about to be separated by death from your child and your child says to you, "Woman"? I just have been really, really uncomfortable with that. What? Oh, we got something good going over there. I don't know what. So, I never have ever preached on this verse before, other than last week at Whitmore Lake. I never have. And there was a reason. Whenever I was given the choice of what to preach, I did not pick that. Like if you'd be with a group of preachers and we're all going to do Good Friday and we're all going to do the seven last words and you get to jump in and say which one you want, I'd be real fast to say any other one than this one. And the reason is because I need to believe what I preach. And it has to fit my current best understanding of Scripture, and it has to fit my experience of God. And I'm sorry, but woman wasn't doing it. It wasn't doing it. As a mother, I just found these words of Scripture to be harsh. Specifically, I found it offensive that Jesus called his mother woman at a moment like this. That did not fit the Jesus I know. So, of course, when Pastor Lindsay handed out the preaching assignments, we didn't get to raise our hand. And of course, which one did I get? "Woman, here is your son." Okay. Have you ever seen God work that way in your own life? Have you ever seen that if there was something that you're kind of afraid of or you've been avoiding, and something that you just plain have wrong. Instead of letting you avoid it forever, God will invite you to step in. To step in and look a little closer. Maybe you'll find something that surprises you, or calls you, or lets you see in a whole new way. Sort of like that time with Peter in the boat. Listen to this poem by David White. I'm thinking of faith now, and I think of the story of the storm and everyone waking and seeing the distant yet familiar figure far, far across the water calling to them, and how we are all waiting for that calling, that moment that we have to say yes. So that when we finally step out of the boat, we find everything holds us. Everything confirms our courage. And if you wanted to drown, you could. But you don't, because after all these years, you don't want to anymore. You've simply had enough of drowning. So, when I saw this seven words preaching assignment, I kind of knew it was time for me to buck up, do my homework, which in preaching lingo we call that do my exegesis. Doesn't that sound very fancy? It just means do your homework. And it was time to figure out why Jesus said such strange words to his mother and why on earth I was being called to sort this out finally, right? So I dug into the scripture, and I prayed over it, and I read the thoughts of Susan Robb, the author that we're all studying, but that was only the start. Then I went far beyond that. I delved into other authors, into commentaries, into theologians, and oh yes, podcasters. I did listen to some podcasters too. There are so many theories about why on earth Jesus did this until I could try to find something that would help me to see Jesus in this word, especially that word. That word. First, I looked for where else Jesus addressed someone as woman. And then I looked at all the places we see his mother in scripture, and then I looked for other scriptures about women in general, and I was hoping to find a clue about what Jesus might have been thinking when he spoke in such a way to his mother. So here are some of the words I found. Jesus speaking, he says, "Woman, you are set free." He said that to a bent-over, crippled woman. He said, "Woman, where are they? Neither do I condemn you." He said that to the woman that was caught in adultery. And then he went one step further with one woman who he called daughter. "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And he said that to the woman with the most womanly of all challenges, the woman with the hemorrhage. And then, of course, there are so many conversations with and about women. The Samaritan woman, Mary and Martha, the Canaanite woman who came to beg for help for her daughter. There are lots more. It's a really interesting thing. Just, you know, look for all the places where you find woman. And then I even pondered the first word that was uttered by Jesus after the resurrection, according to the Gospel of John. Guess what that word is? The first word out of Jesus' mouth after he rose from the dead. Woman. Woman. It is woman. It is woman. So, all right. Lots of women, wise women, women of faith, women who were strong enough to do whatever needed to be done, and even to be an example for others. Okay, so maybe the word woman was less harsh than it seemed to me at first, right? But still, part of me wanted him to say, "Mom." Well, then I remembered that Jesus and his mother shared a special memory. It was at a wedding in Cana. It was the time when Jesus did what at that wedding? He turned the water into wine. Yes, that was his very first public miracle. And do you remember why he did it? He didn't go to that wedding saying, "All right, today I'm going to turn some water into wine." Instead, his mother came up with the idea, and his mother pressed him to do it. And because he loved his mother so much, and because he respected her so much, he went ahead and did it. Oh. Huh. Now it made sense to me. Now it made sense to me that he would call her woman, because that would bring back to her and to him in only a few words that special moment. He didn't have enough breath to say, "Hey, Mom, remember this time?" No, he just said, "Woman," in the same way he said it when he showed her how much he loved her and respected her. Okay, so finally I got past woman. As for the rest of the sentence, the "here is your son," or "behold your son," perhaps he wanted her to turn her head. What do you think she was doing that whole time? She was staring at him, gazing at him. You see this? Where's that cute guy? There he is. See the cute guy in the third row? Wave your hand. Wave your hand, sweetie. That's the one. Now there's two of them. I love it. All right, the one closer to the organ of the cute guys. Well, you're cute too. You're all cute in the third row. But the one closer to the organ, that one is my husband. And I will tell you that when he's singing, even though I like to look at all of you, my eyes especially go to him. They really do. And in the same way, I kind of think, or maybe Don sometimes. I just kind of think that she was gazing at Jesus as much as she could, but in this moment, he needed her to turn her head, to stop looking at what's now and what's past and look to the future. And so he said, "See your son," and his eyes communicated where she should be looking. And then he said the same thing to the beloved disciple, "See your mother." She needed to do that so that she could see she was not alone, so that she could see she was part of a much larger family, a new family of all disciples, and that that family would need her. They would need her strength. They would need her stories about her son, and they would need her love. Her life was not over. She still had work to do. We tend to think that after the resurrection, the Bible never speaks of Mary again. Would you think, it seems like it, huh? But go into Acts chapter 1, verse 14. You know, the first chapter of Acts is when the church is just forming, and they name all of the disciples, the 11 disciples that we're familiar with. But then after listing them, the very next thing we read is, all of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including, and here's the part that somehow I never noticed this before, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was there helping the birth of the church. She was there praying as the church was being born, maybe the way she prayed as Jesus was being born. And then, do you remember how she went to live in the home of the beloved disciple? It said that, right? Claire read that, right, Claire? She did. She says she did. So, I can imagine the two of them, Mary and the beloved disciple and whoever else was part of that family, all of them sitting around the breakfast table, swapping stories about Jesus, sharing insights about Jesus. Those two who knew him well, we don't know for sure, but you know what? That beloved disciple, if you go to the end of John chapter 21, one of the last couple verses, it says that that one, that disciple, is the same one who turns out to be the source of the Gospel of John. So Mary could have poured stories into his heart. Now, that's speculation, but I think it's interesting and not impossible. So I'm no longer uncomfortable with the words Jesus spoke to his mother. Those brief words were rich with memories of the past and meaning for the future. Jesus found a short, powerful way to say what they needed to hear. Another way we could say it today, what he was saying to them under those words were, "You are strong. You are loved. Pick up your life and follow me." And I wonder, what are the words that you need to hear from Jesus? Are there words? Is there something that would remind you that you too are loved by God? That you too are strong? That you have work to do? But who would speak those words to you? Who would speak those words to you? Listen, all of us who follow Jesus, we are the ones who are called to see people the way Jesus did, and we are called to speak love and hope into their lives. Right? Perhaps that's something that this scripture can say to us. We need to see who's being left out. We need to behold who is hungry, to perceive who is hurting. We need to act on those needs so that if we're doing Noah lunches, if we're going to Advocacy Day, yes, I see you, Randy. If we're helping with Readers to Leaders, there are so many ways. We are the ones who are now called to speak words of love to others whom Jesus places in our path. They could be words like, "I was thinking about your husband Bob the other day. What a great guy he was." Or, "I'm so sorry. I think I hurt you. I was wrong." Or practical words like, "Can you join us for lunch today?" Or, "Would you like to ride with us to Cass?" Or, "Are you free to come to Bible study or work in the memorial garden? Or can I save a seat for you in church next week?" When we use words like those, we just might be speaking love from Jesus into someone's life using today's language. You are strong. You are loved. Pick up your life and follow me. Amen.
To walk. Amen. What a blessing to the music ministry of our church. I would invite our new members to come forward. Just as we walk with Jesus throughout our lives of faith, we walk with one another in Christian community. And so I'd invite you to come forward. Over the past several weeks, we have enjoyed having new member class here at our Brighton campus, as well as on the photo you can see at our Whitmore Lake campus. Last week, we welcomed four members to our Whitmore Lake campus, which was beautiful. You can see Paul and Marjorie Allen there on the photo, as well as Pam and Greg Fanslau. And this morning, we are also welcoming more beautiful disciples into the community of faith here. And so after worship, I will invite you during coffee hour, during fellowship time, to come and greet and introduce if you haven't had an opportunity to connect. And then I would invite you to give, just like flood them with invitations to all the different things you're part of in the church. Yeah.
It's okay to say no.
You can say no, but you're not going to want to, because we're a great place, right? So today we celebrate, and we celebrate walking together, walking with Christ on this journey as a community of faith. And we celebrate, oh dear brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is a gift given to us from God without a price. Baptism and joy and being a part of the family of God. And then through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew that covenant that was declared at our baptism, and we acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. God's doing beautiful things in this space. And so it is a great joy to introduce you to some of the disciples here this morning on the journey. Andrew, I want to introduce you to Andrew and Elaine and Lauren and Mike and their kids. And oh my goodness, they're going to come be a part of the ministry, and they're going to share their gifts. And we're going to worship and learn and study and pray and serve and together, and God is doing beautiful things. And so as we come this morning to renew this time together to say yes to what God is doing in this midst, Pastor Lynn and I have some questions for you. We'll play ping pong. You look at her,
yeah, so you're gonna,
you look at me, you look at her. It'll be fun. Here we go.
And so on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? If so, say, I do.
And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do.
And according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, say, we do.
We do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith, and now include these new persons into your love and care? I invite you to respond. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life.
Let us all gathered here join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
So now, new members, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, please say, I will. And dear members of the household of God, I now commend these persons into your love and care, to pray for them, to invite them, to encourage them, to join with them in the ministry of Christ. May you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you,
and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness,
that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Oh, dear members, may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory, may he establish you, may he strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. And we are so thankful that you're part of our church community and home. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate.
Shake hands. All right. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, Elaine. We talked on the phone. Welcome.
As we move into a time of prayer, we are grateful to have new friends among us. Keep in your hearts as we pray for two prayer quilts this morning. One is for Tracy Meyer, a relation of the Urban Martin family, and for Val, the sister of Roger Myers. As you leave this space, you're asked to stop and tie a knot, say a prayer, and sign the cards for them, so that their quilts may be a physical reminder of the love and prayers of this congregation. And as we turn to God now together, I invite you into a posture consistent with your prayer practice. Let's pray. Holy One, Divine Parent, Creator of heaven and earth, as we anticipate the slow awakening of your beautiful earth in these early days of spring, we thank you for reminders of the goodness of your creation. As the trees begin to bud, the rain falls, the birds welcome the dawn with singing, let us bask in the warmth of the sun as a reminder of your presence and desire for us to care for the earth, its creatures, and each other. We pray this morning for our families, those given to us through birth and our upbringing, and those we have chosen through our love for one another. Pour out your blessings on these relationships. May they be rich in love, abundant in comfort, and fortified by your strength. We know there are times ahead and times behind us that we will need the combined strands of all our relationships to celebrate the good times and to face the difficulties in our lives. We thank you for this church family as part of our chosen family. This family where each of us is called by name, welcomed, loved, and empowered to do your work in the world. Help us this day and every day to follow your lead on that work that you want us to do. Walk with us as we live out your instructions to love others and to love you. We pray now for those living with pain, living with uncertainty, or facing diagnosis. We lift up to you those who in their grief or illness need our prayers, our friendship, and our care. We pray for the forgotten or unseen. Lord, help us to see the face of Christ in everyone. In this quiet moment, we open our hearts and pour out our thanks. Hear us, O God, from the depths of our souls in this time of silent prayer. Now, as one family in Christ, let us join our voices together to repeat the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we come to our time of offering, I know the ushers pass the plates. We ask you to put your connection cards in there as well. But if you were listening today, you heard that also in that plate go your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. So reach into your pockets today. Find which one of those things you haven't put in that plate lately and offer that to God this day. Would the ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you have provided for us abundantly, and we express our gratitude through our offerings to your ministry on earth. Help us to share with others what you have first given us. Amen.
Amen.
My friends, go out this week to be the eyes of Jesus. Go out this week to speak the love of Jesus into someone's life. Go out to greet someone that you haven't talked with for a little while. Speak words of love and know that you can do it because Jesus sees you and Jesus loves you. Go in peace. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.